have, as usual, our early full attendance at the meeting. What we're going to do is try to take advantage of the teleconference time and try to get some of the people from out of town who are here. I really apologize to everyone who's here today. We're going to have a tough time squeezing everyone in. What I'm going to try to do is make sure to get all the sponsors, all the people from out of town, from utilities otherwise, who made a special effort to be here, make sure they get a chance. And right now, while we don't have a quorum, I am going to try to plow through some of the people who are on the teleconference who are in other communities. What I'm going to say, and I hope everyone can hear me on teleconference, is that we are going to try to limit people just to a couple of minutes. All we're trying to get at this hearing is just a general sense of the proposals before us. A lot of people have showed up in various communities to testify. I don't want to indicate you won't have a chance later. What you need to do today is just indicate generally your feelings. If you go on more than a couple minutes, I'm going to have to cut people off. And as soon as we have our quorum here, which we now have Representative Bruckman, Representative Ivan, Representative Finkelstein, we're going to go to the bill sponsors. Once we do reach a quorum, we're going to have the bill sponsors and then other people, I think, from people who are unable to attend. Otherwise, we're made a special trip. And again, I do apologize that we've been cut off so severely by the floor session today. We had a few more amendments than we might have hoped. The first place we'll go to is Fairbanks. There we've got Robert Maxwell. After there, we will go to Glenn Allen. The first person there is Donna Tolman. Is Mr. Maxwell there in Fairbanks?
Yes, I am.
If you could, you could proceed and try to keep your comments to just a couple of minutes, because we really have a lot of people here as well.
All right. I'm sorry, I can squeeze it in a couple of minutes. My name is Robert Maxwell. I'm the executive director for Interior Weatherization, Inc. Interior Weatherization, Inc. is a private nonprofit organization that serves the weatherization needs of clients in the low-income weatherization program for the interior region, which includes the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the road system from Fairbanks to Delta, and from Fairbanks to Cantwell. I'm here to request your support for the funding of the weatherization program put forth in House Bill 228 under the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, the state agency which oversees the weatherization program. This is a desperately needed program which effectively helps many of our interior residents who find coping with their interior winter's fuel costs very hard to deal with. The Older Persons Action Group in Anchorage estimated that there are over 1,000 senior citizens in the Fairbanks North Star Borough that survived on incomes of less than $717 per month in 1989. This year, one of our elderly clients had fuel costs equal to 30% of her monthly income before we weatherized her home, just keeping half of our home heated to 60 degrees. We anticipate that we reduce their heating requirements by 25% and she can heat her entire home to 70 degrees. 2 weeks ago, when I was in Delta Junction inspecting completed weatherization projects, one client stated that the weatherization received and cut his wood consumption by half, and another client claims we saved him at least 3/4 of wood, even though the weatherization was not done until this January. House Bill 228 represents a very balanced approach to the expenditure of railroad funds in a manner that has not been accomplished before. I would like to commend the sponsors of this bill for a far-sighted approach to the view of the obvious need for conservation and power projects at the same time. It is a sad fact that utilities in the state have done very little in the way of conservation. In fact, our utilities in the interior, unlike those in the major utilities of America, still cling to an inverted rate structure that gives discounts to the and the cost of electricity to those who use more. In spite of this fact, we are approached on an annual basis by total electric households who depend on electricity for their heat source, trying to find a way to convert their homes to a less expensive heat source. Unfortunately, we cannot help them. Often these homes are above the low-income ceiling, which determines eligibility for our program. Should the utilities finance the conversion and allow their customers to repay the funds from the savings realized by a cheaper heating fuel, these households would benefit greatly. The provisions in the House Bill 228 for funding energy conservation by utilities from grants would go a long way in assisting these Alaskans. The balance between conservation and production presented in House Bill 228 is refreshing. I felt it necessary to come here today and encourage you to support for this item throughout the legislative process. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. I appreciate your effort coming out today. We'll go now to Donna Tolman. After that, we're going to hear from Lieutenant Governor Coghill, who's in Anchorage. And then we're going to go back to Juneau, and we're going to start with the sponsors. Ms. Tolman, are you there in Glen Allen?
With several other people, I'll keep it very short due to the time. I'm representing the Copper Valley Economic Development Council, as well as the fact that I'm a small business person. We would like to show our support here for House Bills 184 and 185, because we don't really see much of a future here unless we can get our economic development programs going, and we're not going to be able to do that without lower electric rates. This is a benefit both to us and to the state of Alaska. There are many, like I said, many other people here from the electric company, private business, the Chamber of Commerce. We're all here in support of these bills. We hope that you'll listen to Deb Bercy, who's in Juneau, to see what the benefits to both the state and this area are.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your taking the time to testify. We'll go now to Lieutenant Governor Coghill in Anchorage. Lieutenant Governor, if you could keep your comments as briefly as possible, we've got a whole room full of people here as well as about 30 or 40 on the conference system. Are you there, Lieutenant Governor?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I can keep my remarks very brief. The administration, I talked to the governor yesterday on this subject. We're all in favor of keeping the Rail Belt Energy Fund intact for Rail Belt Energy and related uses. We believe that there's plenty of demand for increasing our dependency between Anchorage and Fairbanks and between the peninsula. We feel that that fund should be used for that purpose. We also agree that that the need for 184 and 185 for the eastern intertie is needed, and I think that that will come within our administration. I think that the weatherization on those programs are very much needed, but I don't think that they should come from the Rail Belt Energy Fund. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. We appreciate your making the time to address us today. We'll now return to Juneau with it first from Representative Navarre and Representative Boyer. You can both join us if you wish, and you're certainly welcome after you're done testifying to join us at the table as well.
Thank you, Representative Finkelstein. I'm going to be brief and leave some of my time to people who will provide more in-depth information. I just want to say that with respect to House Bill 76 and House Bill 77, the authorization and funding for the authorizing the transmission line and providing for design and construction costs. Benefits will be that they'll be improved reliability, improved system efficiency, reduced energy production costs, and it will encourage economic development. And Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of technical data that I have offered, letters of support, particularly from Anchorage, Kenai Peninsula, City of Homer, Soldotna, and the Kenai Peninsula Caucus, in addition to many others. And I would speak strongly in favor of moving the bill along. The authorization is not the same as the funding. The authorization will authorize it, but still can't be built unless we provide the funding. We set up the Rail Belt Energy Fund specifically for purposes like this, and I think that that's what we should authorize the use of the funds for.
Representative Barr, Representative Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, will be brief, and what I'd like to propose is that we yield our time for an overview from Mike Kelly, who is with Golden Valley Electric Association out of Fairbanks, and allow Mike to kind of set the tone for the overall need and along the rail belt, and particularly with regard to the two interties that are being proposed here. But just to kind of keep things in perspective, Mr. Chairman, last year we took money out of the Rail Belt Energy Fund for a number of projects, not all of them obviously related to energy, and that I think was a mistake that we made in appropriating monies for general capital construction needs across the state virtually, and has left us in the Rail Belt at a disadvantage now in trying to do any number of energy-related kinds of projects. The projects that are on the table far exceed by more than double the needs just if we were looking at interties or electrical intertie types of projects in the greater Rail Belt area. And the remaining balance of $100 million plus the interest that's accruing is inadequate at this particular time. And Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that, as the co-chair of the Finance Committee has said, that we move the authorization bill along so that we have a vehicle available to us that's farther along in the process in the event that we can reach some consensus on how the balance of the Rail Belt Energy Fund should be used. But what I'd like to do is yield my remaining time to Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Representative Boyer. Just to explain what our schedule is going to be, we are having a tough time today. We're going to, I promise, though, everyone who doesn't get a chance, we're at a shortened time today, that we're going to have a another hearing where we have all these bills before us. There's going to be a chance for everyone to speak. And in that light, if you can do your best to keep your comments brief after Mr. Kelly's speech, then we're going to have Representative Cabina, Representative Martin, Representative Brown, and then we're going to try to fit as many people. We've gotten the teleconference extended to 3:15, so we do have at least 30 people who signed up, so it's I feel it's real important to at least get a few of those people on today. And to all the people listening, if you don't get a chance today, we do apologize, and we will set up another opportunity to notify you. If you leave your name and send it in, we'll notify you personally of when the next hearing is. Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Rail Belt Energy Fund a year ago had about $230 million in it. It now has $100 million plus the interest it's accrued, and it was set aside in a reserve for the Interties. We support House Bill 76 and 77 passing from this committee so that the House can get a cut at it. The bills, House 76 and 77, are very consistent with the position that the utilities have taken. I think also that we need timely action. I appreciate the chance to get to have more of our people talk in another hearing, but I think it's very important that this bill, these bills not be held until the last minute when virtually nothing can be done to get them past this session. The elements of House Bill 76 and 77 have been supported by resolutions from the local governments involved, from the Kenai to Anchorage to Fairbanks, also the economic development councils in these areas. The local and state chambers support the elements in 76 and 77. The labor unions will speak to their support for these projects, and there are 50 elected policymakers for each of the 7 rail belt utilities that support these projects. There is a positive benefit to cost ratio associated with the Soldotna to Anchorage line and the Healy to Fairbanks line. We think that we are very concerned at the last minute introduction of House Bill 228, which would seem to replace the collective wisdom of all these people that have supported the elements of 76 and 77 by the chairman of the committee and a few others. We need real interties, not a combination of projects which, like any diversion, appear to have benefits associated with them, are unarguably, but they don't build real interties. They don't get the job done. And so we also feel that the financing agreement that we have entered into with the Power Authority that assures the state that the utilities will fund through bonds the cost of any cost above $125 million associated with the Interties is a very positive step to cap the state's involvement in the Interties. Mr. Maresch is with us today. He has the signed agreements with him. And I would, in closing, again mention that, that these projects have positive benefit to cost ratios. They're widely supported, and I do not believe that the wisdom of the collective policymakers should be substituted by this this committee this late in the game. I do not support 228, but support the quick passing out of 76 and 77. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Appreciate you coming. Some of the committee members did want to ask questions, but I talked them out of it in the interest of time. Representative Cabina, if you could join us.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm here talking about House Bill 184 and 185, which a little different than the other bills before you in that 184 and 185 proposes to add new sections to the rail belt. In other words, the other interties appear to be really upgrades of old interties that have been there, and I believe it's important that we in the state bring in other areas of the state into the rail belt energy grid so that people have the access to more reasonable rates. You'll notice in my packet, if you would, that I have an electric bill here in Juneau and also one in Valdez. And the one in Valdez, when you add the power cost adjustment and everything to it, it pushes 20 cents. And here in Juneau, we're paying 7.75 cents for electricity. So while we have enough electricity, actually we have too much and would like to sell some back. We're trying to deal with getting our rates down at a reasonable cost so we can have reasonable economic activity. Without me going further, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say that I am not here opposing 76 and 77. I do support those bills, and I do not feel that we should take ours in place of those. I believe that we should be in line with those. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, do the same thing and allow Mr. Bursey to have a few minutes to give you just a real brief overview of what that plan is also, and I would yield my time to him if that's acceptable to you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Kamita. I would be glad to have him forward because we want to get a mix of speakers today. We don't actually do the yielding time that we do in Congress, so it would be a nice idea. I think we'd be doing a lot of yielding on the floor, though. But yeah, if you'd like to join us, that would be great, and offer your testimony now. After that, we're going to go to Representative Martin and then Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to make a presentation to you today. We, as Gene said, support House Bill 184 and 185. We do have the support of labor. We have the support of any number of chambers up and down the line, Delta, Copper Basin Chamber, the Valdez Chamber. The city of Valdez has made this one of their primary goals. In fact, it is their number one priority this year. They recognize that unless we do something toward getting the rates down to a reasonable rate, that it's not going to be possible to be able to generate any kind of economic development in the future. We have provided to you a packet of information, and in that packet of information it shows that the rates right at the present time average 18.2 cents per kilowatt hour, and in a 20-year period of time we'll go to 37.6 cents. We feel like that's unacceptable and certainly not something that we're going to be able to generate any kind of economic development. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would thank you for allowing me the time. I would like at some future date to make a better presentation, but I recognize that you're short of time.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate your keeping your comments short. We will provide that opportunity to you. Is anyone in attendance from Representative Martin's office on his bill? Okay, scratch those. Representative Brown is on the chair. You got to show up for the bill. That's a minimum, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I wanted to speak briefly on House Bill 121. This bill would establish a requirement for integrated resource planning for our largest electric utilities. It only applies to Chugach, GVEA, Homer, Matsu, and MLEP. It does not apply in other areas. The need for an integrated resource planning process is well established and long overdue. Mr. Chairman and committee, during the period from FY 77 to 88, the state of Alaska spent $1.3 billion on supply-side projects, or rather 99% of what we spent was on supply-side projects, 1% on demand-side projects. I think it's time that we make a more serious effort to integrate and see conservation be a part of our policy and a part of our attempt to meet people's energy needs in the state. We know that in many cases, saving a kilowatt of energy is a better investment than producing it and would be cheaper and better for consumers. Mr. Chairman, the bill sets up this requirement that the electric utilities I mentioned would look at all options, including demand side and supply side options, in meeting their long-range needs. The bill was amended in the Community and Regional Affairs Committee in a compromise with the utilities to provide that this requirement would only apply to projects financed by the legislature after 1993. The way that it's set up is if a utility does not do an integrated plan, they would not be eligible for state subsidized or state subsidies for grants or loans for energy projects. The other thing that the bill does is authorize the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to prepare a report on the implications of a major supply disruption, and that would be not just electricity, but all energy that serve the needs of our state. So I know you have a long list of people here to speak, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. I would urge the committee to move the bill along. We had a lengthy public testimony on it, public hearing on it in the last committee, and it received very broad support. I think it's a good idea. It has two fiscal notes, one from the Public Utilities Commission, which would administer this, and one from the Community and Regional Affairs Department for $110,000 and $80,000, respectively. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Brown. I'd like to get an idea of how many people we've got here to testify who are from out of town. People just put up their hands, people want to testify who are from out of town. Okay, looks for people on teleconference, looks like there's four or five. We'll go to a round of the teleconference. We're going to be able to stay till 3:15 on teleconference. The first person we'll have is Mark Foster, a commissioner from APUC. After that, we'll go to Jasper Hall and Glenn Allen. Commissioner Foster, are you there in Anchorage?
Yes, I am.
If you could give us your brief testimony, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you very much. The Commission strongly supports House Bill 121, which requires large rail belt electric utilities to prepare and implement integrated resource plans and coordinated and approved by the Commission. Integrated resource planning has become an established business practice for electric utilities across the country. And basically what it does is it sets up an analytical tool whereby the electric utilities along the rail belt will put together some common assumptions about their supply and demand and compare alternatives to determine what is the best project or program, supply or demand side, to meet their needs. The goal is to find the best situation for the consumers. Long run, a plan, what gives you the best, lowest bill all along the rail belt. In summary, the Commission believes that this is a good, perhaps essential public policy to require the large rail belt electric utilities to prepare and implement these plans, and the Commission endorses the bill and urges its adoption by the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, for keeping your comments so brief. Next, we'll go to Jasper Hall and Glenn Allen. After that, to William Bowers in Mat-Su.
Thank you. I'm Jasper Hall of the Greater Copper Valley Chamber of Commerce, and we represent the 110 member businesses in the Copper River Basin. I'm speaking in support of House Bill 184 and 185. As you may or may not know, Copper Valley Electric Association has the highest rates of any regulated utility in the state. We pay 22.6 cents per kilowatt hour in Glen Allen and about 20 cents in Valdez. While other forms of rate reduction have been pursued both on the supply and demand side, none compare to the intertie as far as the cost-benefit relationship is concerned. The Northeast intertie is good not only for the 9,000 people in the Copper River Basin in Valdez, but for the entire state as well. First, it develops a rail belt grid which would decrease power costs, improve reliability, and system efficiency. Secondly, it improves the environment, infrastructure, and economic opportunity in the state. From a business standpoint, lower rates would attract additional families and businesses, increase disposable income, and improve local businesses' ability to compete with businesses outside the immediate area. For all of these reasons, we support House Bill 184 and 185 and believe that now is the time to push ahead with the first phase of the Northeast Intertie. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your taking the time today. We'll go now to Mr. Bowers, and after that to Chris Brand in Delta Junction.
This is William Harvey Bowers in Mat-Su. I would like to offer my support for House Bill 228. I think we need to address both demand side and supply side, which House Bill 228 does, and I think it's primarily addressed supply side in the past, and I think it's necessary to also address the demand side to be very effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time today. And Mr. Brand in Delta Junction, are you there? That'll be followed by Robert Wilkinson in Glen Allen.
Chamber of Commerce in favor of House Bills 184 and 185. The proposed intertie between Copper Valley Electric and Golden Valley Electric will give us better use of power-generating facilities in the state, saving us all money. The people who stand to gain immediately include the ratepayers of GDEA, Pump Station 10, Black Rapids Training Site, Summit, Paxson, as well as the state highway camps. In private development, if you want to start a business along the Richardson Highway, you have to add the cost of building and operating a power plant, complete with the fuel tanks, of course, on top of everything else. Economic development costs money, whether you're starting a gas station or a convenience store south of Paxson Lake or building a gas line. Building this intertie will help build new businesses of all sizes and will help new ones to start as well. We have the chance to make development here a little easier as well as making it environmentally safer, and it's a combination that's hard to beat. Basically, the benefits to Alaska are reducing present operating costs for a number of agencies, increasing reliability, and aiding the future development, especially along the route of the intertie. Basic infrastructure project will allow existing governments, businesses, and individuals to better serve each other's needs. It brings us together for mutual benefit, which is a basic premise for state government. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Mr. Wilkinson, and then we'll go to Anchorage for Mr. Gary Brooks. Mr. Wilkinson, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Wilkinson. I'm a certified public accountant and a 32-year resident of the state of Alaska. I've lived for the last 5 years in the Copper River Basin here in Glen Ellen. When I came to the Copper River Basin in 1986, my bill at Shugach Electric, which was $38 a month, was $138 at Copper Valley Electric, and it has continued to increase since that time. I would like to speak on behalf of House Bills 184 and 185 in support of the Northeast Intertie and hope that we might be able to look forward to the future that such development could bring to the state of Alaska. I am also a member of the Board of Directors of the Copper Valley Economic Development Council and the Greater Copper Valley Chamber of Commerce, and I would like to echo the support of Mrs. Tolman and Mr. Hall, and that those organizations supporting local business certainly support this project. I think one of the primary benefits I see from the Northeast Intertie is that this project has the potential to return long-term benefits to the state. Copper Valley Electric, I'm told, currently spills nearly as much energy out of the Solomon Gulch project into Port Valdez as they consume. Given that each kilowatt hour produced from Solomon Gulch returns money to the state of Alaska coffers, the opportunity to sell that energy is a paying proposition for the state. Mr. Hall spoke about economic development opportunities, and I certainly see a lot of potential for that in this area. The potential return to the state is also immediate in that if the Northeast Intertie were built and the utility was able to realize a 5 cent per kilowatt hour rate reduction, that would mean an immediate return to the state of Alaska for state office buildings in Valdez and Glen Ellen and school districts of $339,000 per year in 1990 dollars. If you were to put that money in a bank and allowing for a 2% inflation factor and an 8% return on your money, over a 30-year suggested life of this project, it would return to the state almost $56 million. I really would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I hope you'll support House Bills 184 and 185 and the residents of the Copper Basin in Valdez. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We'll now go to Mr. Brooks in Anchorage, followed by Charlotte Fitzhugh in Fairbanks.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Gary Brooks. I'm business manager of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Alaska, representing approximately 4,500 electrical and communication workers across our state. I'd like to speak in favor of House Bill 76 and 77, authorizing funds for the construction of certain intertie transmission lines in Alaska. I feel these bills represent the most cost-effective proposal before the House Labor and Commerce Committee to ensure reliable sources of energy being interconnected with major rail belt load centers while simultaneously providing much-needed employment opportunity along the rail belt. I urge your committee to ensure that the remaining funds from the Rail Belt Energy Fund be utilized only for these transmission line projects, and would ask that the authorization bill be moved from this committee immediately. I would also like to add that I have no intent to speak against Representative Cabina's proposed legislation, recognizing the much higher kilowatt per hour cost of energy from the Valdez Glen Allen area and the much needed resolution to that problem. I appreciate the opportunity to address your committee and again ask that you move House Bills 76 and 77. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Next we'll go to Charlotte Fitzhugh in Fairbanks, then to James Winchester in Valdez.
We seem to have a mix-up on the listing. I've got a Thomas Bammelmeyer mailer next.
Okay, you can put him up next then.
And Mr. Chairman?
We can hear you loud and clear.
You can hear me?
Yes, very well.
My name is Tom Stoudemire, and the reason why I'm here in Fairbanks today, we made our rounds on the electric utilities.
Go to another site.
Sounded good, Tom. Sounded good.
114.
Good.
What that does, if that's passed, it reestablishes the Rail Belt Energy Fund that was spent last session on other projects, including the interest, and it puts it back into the Rail Belt Energy Fund, bringing it back to $285 million cash. If that bill was pushed through, you'd have enough cash to go forward to enact House Bill 117, which authorizes the construction of the northeast intertie from Palmer to Glen Allen to Delta Junction, tying the loop together. It authorizes the Salmon Gulch to Cordova Hydro Power Line. It also authorizes the Healy to Fairbanks upgrade, and it also includes the construction of the intertie from Anchorage to Soldotna to tie the entire loop together. One shot. My conclusion, I'm representing myself here as an individual, even though we have over 4,000 business people that support our concept of completing all the interties, and there are 14 state senators in South Central Territory of the state that represent us, and there's 28 House of Representatives, and we don't see any reason why that all these interties cannot be passed through, and everybody in South Central and the interior part of the state gets a piece of the action. I'm sure each legislator from South Central and the interior received a letter from me on March the 1st. That letter is intact, and it's self-explanatory, and keep in the back of your head that you folks work for us when we don't work for you.
Well,
if these three bills were enacted, and what I'd like to do is to be fair with everybody, I'd like to see all these bills reach the full floor of the House of Representatives and let all 40 members of the State House of Representatives go on record on whether or not you want to piecemeal this operation, or the time has come to take the entire, all the interties, wrap it around, and let Governor Hickel get on with the construction of these interties. In the next 5 years, everybody is tied to the grid in one complete 70-megawatt operation. That's all I got to say.
Thank you very much, Tom. We'll go next to James Winchester in Valdez, followed by Ron Cusker in Anchorage.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm James Winchester. I'm the general manager of the public radio station here in Valdez, and I'd like to speak to House Bills 184 and 185. Due for us here in Valdez is the cost of electrical power. It's an effective choke valve on economic development down here. It's really, really expensive to buy power. At the radio station with the transmitter in our studios, it's our second greatest cost after labor, and it's not due to go down. This intertie will reduce costs and prevent the geometric growth of them in the future. It'll tie us into the rest of the grid. It will also increase the reliability of our electrical utility, which is an important consideration if you have a radio station with emergency broadcast system responsibilities. It will directly affect the reliability of our radio station. When the power goes off, we go dark and nobody can hear us. It's not a good situation. The third thing is it would give the intertie vastly improved flexibility and provide room for turn your lights on. I think about it every time I turn the switch on. It's the most expensive power I've ever experienced. And for a business person, for a resident, for anyone down here in Valdez, this intertie will really do a lot of good for us. It's an important bill, and I urge you to support it and pass it out of the committee in short order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your coming out today. We'll go next to Ron in Anchorage, and after that to Angela Boyd in Fairbanks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ron Kuzik, and I'm the assistant to the general manager for Municipal Life Power. Tom Starr expresses his apologies for not being able to testify this afternoon. The schedule was rigid and couldn't be broken. We're here to speak on behalf of House Bill 76 and 77, and as these bills move through your committee, we want to bring out one major point that we think you should be remembered, that Anchorage and the surrounding community have no alternative in light, or should we have a major or catastrophic failure. Unlike many of the major areas of the country in the lower 48, where they have interties coming at them from any which direction, Anchorage has not. If we have a major power failure here in Anchorage, where we lose either Beluga or our primary plant, we don't have an alternative. That is, we have the capacity with Bradley Lake coming on the line, but our distribution is weak. With the construction of the intertie, our reliability in this area will be improved tremendously. We urge your support of these bills and request you move forward through committee very rapidly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, Angela Boyd in Fairbanks, and then Steve Colton, Anchorage.
Hello, my name is Kathy Billing. I am the program manager for Interior Weatherization, Inc., a nonprofit that supplies weatherization here in the interior. Due to the recent impact of the Light Infantry Division moving into Fairbanks, rents have continued to rise. This situation often forces low-income renters into substandard housing. I recently had a woman in the office who had four children who was renting a trailer for $350 a month plus utilities. The trailer was so cold that she found it necessary to put pieces of styrofoam in all of her windows, virtually allowing in no daylight. She was unable to find better affordable housing. The low-income weatherization program is an absolute must for families such as this one. I therefore request your support for House Bill 228 under the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, the state agency which oversees the weatherization program.
Thank you very much for coming out. Before we go on to the others, I should note for those on teleconference, we have had a large number of legislators here today. We've been joined by Representative Donnelly, one point Representative Taylor, Representative Zawacki, Representative Gail Phillips, Representative Gonzalez, besides the sponsors as well as the previous sponsors who were here. We will now go to Steve Colton, Anchorage. I should note I asked Mr. Colt to speak. There was a paper that he prepared on production of jobs from energy projects. We don't have that paper here, though, Steve, so probably what you do is just make as brief a summary as you can. I expect we will have it at some point, and we'll distribute it to members.
Thank you, Representative Finkelstein. I will be brief here, and I do hope you get the paper soon. I'll be in touch with you later to rectify that situation. Again, at the request of your staff, I have prepared and submitted to your committee an analysis of the employment impacts of HB 76 and 77 and of HB 228. My analysis shows that HB 76 and 77 produces 2,706 total years of employment, or what I call jobs years. About 700 of these are direct jobs, and an additional 1,800 jobs are induced by the respending of project benefits. Regarding House Bill 228, my analysis conducted under similar assumptions, but using the projects laid out in 228, produced a total of 3,324 total job years. Again, there are about 700 direct jobs flowing from this bill. There are 170 jobs induced by the wages paid out by the project to the direct employees, an additional 2,440 induced by the respending of project benefits. That summarizes my analysis. There is, as I said, a two-page summary of the analysis as well as an eight-page memorandum which assumptions which are required to do an impact analysis of this type. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. We'll go now to Robert Sunder in Copper Center. After that, we'll be to Rich Seifert in Fairbanks.
Yes, this is Bob Sunder in Copper Center, Copper Basin area. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm here on behalf of trying to support Hospital 184 and 185. I think you have a lot of the documents in front of you now, so there's no need covering all that on this conference here. But I would like to say that during the Clean Air Act that just came out of Washington, D.C., one factor in this thing alone is going to be 11 million gallons of diesel not being burnt if this intertie goes through, which is going to be a great deal and a great benefit to the state of Alaska and also to the Washington, D.C. Clean Air Act. Along the other lines of this, we will be able to support the Yukon Pacific Gas Line, the Black Rapids Military outfit, the pump stations, and along with having a better security system from one end of the grid to the other end. We also know that we can save the state of Alaska as much as $400,000 per year, or as low as $200,000 per year, just in the state of Alaska's electric bill from Copper Valley Electric. And hopefully that you will get this bill through, and we are very much in support of this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. After Rich in Fairbanks, we'll go next to Donna Fisher in Valdez.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I am Charles Fitzhugh with Senior Citizens. I support House Bill 228. I've benefited from low-income weatherization this past winter, but I had no reliable source of heat. Interior weatherization installed a monitor for me, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Appreciate again your keeping your comments short. Next, Donna Fisher in Valdez, followed by Robert Bujan, B-U-G-A-N, in Anchorage.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Donna Fisher. I'm a member of City Council in Valdez. I'm speaking on House Bill 184 and 185. Adding this intertie will reduce the electrical rates to Valdez and make it economically feasible for Valdez to be able to be marketed as a business center. With the rising cost of fuel and unstable economy with oil, we must certainly do and promote all we can to have our electrical utilities at a more reasonable and feasible rate for all who reside along this proposed intertie. Valdez has some of the higher rates in the state as well as the Copper Basin. And we as a city, for our citizens in this vast area, fully support these two bills and realize these two bills will benefit the whole state as well as this area. Please support House Bill 184 and 185. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. After Robert in Anchorage, we'll go to Nick Zerbinos in Glen Allen.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Green. I'm with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. And primarily, I'm here to just give some information on a couple of bills, House Bill 121 and also House Bill 228. House Bill 121, the actual involvement on the part of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs essentially is to prepare a report examining the implications of major disruption of energy supply to consumers in the state, including the discussion of the implications of substantial increase in the price of energy. Essentially, what we have seen in the state is that even though Alaska is the leading producer of oil in the nation, most of the areas in the state are dependent upon energy sources that are imported from outside of the state. Presently, the federal government has shifted the responsibility of preparing an energy for energy disruption to the state, and a study of the implications of major energy supply disruption would provide the state, local, and private sector decision makers a framework in developing plans to prepare for such a contingency. Such a study would contemplate the state's disaster resource network, working with that network and strengthening it. And essentially, I just wanted to make those comments as our involvement if this bill were to pass. Basically, as a department, we are basically neutral on this bill. However, we would be remiss not to be, as a client agency, not to be prepared to implement weatherization, which would be incorporated into ongoing weatherization and rural enhancement weatherization programs. This would reach about 4,000 families. 10 million of that would be involved in institutional efficiency programs, which would be coordinated through the department's existing capital project retrofit and institutional conservation building program. This would provide improvements to hospitals and schools for energy conservation measures. And then 20 million of that would be provided for utility conservation programs, and these would be used to support effective locally designed efforts aimed at reducing consumers' electrical consumption. There are numerous models in the lower 48 that we would base our program on. And then finally, 8 million of that bill provided for ongoing residential and business energy improvement programs that would allow for innovation, such as the successful programs such as the Energy Rated Homes of Alaska and the Business Energy Assistance Team, the Home Energy Efficiency Program, and others. So rather than go on about those, I just wanted to make some comment on how our department would be involved in those particular programs if either of those bills were to pass out.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your come today. Before we go to Mr. Zervinos, we have Representative Martin with us, and he could join us and offer a few brief words on his legislation as well. I'd also like to note that we do have the head of the Alaska Energy Authority here, Mr. Loresh. He's graciously agreed to put off his testimony until the next hearing because he's in Juneau and is able to attend more easily. Representative Martin?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late, but your group needed me in judiciary for no other reason to make a quorum. I thank you for having these bills because we need this very much in the interior, and I think we're probably about 4 or 5 years late now in trying to meet the energy needs of the people. I'm going to go back a little bit in the history. I thought at first, say as many as 8, 9, 10 years ago, the major emphasis throughout the state was to take the oil revenue that we were receiving and put them into long-range programs that would help the next generation, not just today's people receiving dividends, but put it into infrastructure that would help the next generation. And I think by reducing energy costs for the citizens, not only today, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, like they do in the northwest part of our country, this is a great way to use our monies. So a lot of people, the majority of the legislators said, yes, let's put money into the southeast for the dam, for dam projects and stuff like that. And then next came the needs of the village people, the rural people. Let's have appropriation for them on an annual basis, equalization appropriation. And then we put so much aside for the people of central Alaska. Now, I shouldn't really advocate this because, you know, I'm doing fine in East Anchorage with low energy costs. So there's no skin off my back if we don't care about the other people in central Alaska. But I think we need to, and I think we need to invest the money we originally intended to for energy needs of central Alaska. The programs I have been mostly advocating have been probably the broadest you can have because I want the whole central part of Alaska taken care of. That was the intent. And therefore, my bill also feels that the interest on those monies that were allocated to begin with should be brought back into the energy pot, because that was, again, the intent and cost of construction maybe going up as the cost of living has. So for the interest money gained off those original pot of gold should be put back in there for to construct the inner ties and so on. And I do have maps, I do have reports, you probably got a dozen of them. I guess the main important one we had is this particular one drawn. I see you have some replica up there on the board in color, which is neat. But it shows you that my intent in envisioning this, and we had help from the power authorities and so on, was to see everything we need today for tomorrow. What can we do today? What do you envision is going to be the maximum need for central Alaska and its people? And so that's where I'm coming from. Anything you cut back from there and say, well, this may not have been reasonable, or this not being reasonable, that's understood. It's just a matter now. I really believe that using those monies now that were set aside 6, 7 years ago is probably the best investment that you can use for the young generation and the future generations of Alaska. There they can say 20 years from now, 50 years from now, those legislators were wise in the use of our energy monies. They're saving me today instead of paying, you know, what, maybe 50 cents a kilowatt hour. Now I'm still paying 4 and 5 like the people in Ketchikan. I hope that's all you're paying. I don't know what you're paying. 10? Okay. Anyway, the idea is try to maximize our money, Mr. Chairman, and I wish you the best with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Martin. I appreciate your taking the time to come join us. The
before I have a brief comment on Terry.
As long as it's not a question.
Not a question for Terry. I have prepared, and I'll have distributed, given it to staff, an amendment for House Bill 117, but that amendment would also be applicable to House Bills 76, 77, 228, 186, 185, and 184. I don't know what will yet come out of committee, whether it'll be a consolidated bill or an individual package. But I want to make, because this is a different concept we've been discussing in the other areas, the there are two enterties in Southeast Alaska that have been, that the Alaska Energy Authority has studied, has worked on, done preliminary work up on, and that's an intertie that would connect Juneau, the Snitisham project in Petersburg, Alaska, by one marine cable. And it would also connect the Tyee Power Plant at Bradfield Canal with Ketchikan Public Utilities, the project at Swan Lake. That would effectively intertie and grid all of Southeast Alaska with the major cities with the exception of Sitka. I've prepared amendments that would accomplish that. The funding source for them would not in any way tap into the Rail Belt account, which I have fought over the last 6 years to preserve for those Rail Belt legislators. It would instead utilize an income stream being paid back to the state right now by the four dam pool. It would also utilize the funds that are in the power revolving loan fund, and in addition to that, I'd be willing to utilize revenue bonds to the extent necessary to fulfill that project. Both of those projects have been studied, are further along as far as studies is actually concerned than many of the ones you're contemplating. And I think they're both economically viable. There is today, in my opinion, over a 60 megawatt need just between Wrangell and Juneau, Alaska. And that's if you only factor in two of the mines that are trying to get started here in town. And the biggest pollution concern in the community of Juneau is the diesel or other fumes that will be generated by putting in hydrocarbon generation to take care of the mines here in town. In essence, if these were put in, they would pay for themselves in a very short period of time off of utilization, load factors, and sales. Thank you very much, and I'll submit these through the committee and the evening bills, and hopefully we can consolidate and work on a package.
Great. Thank you, Representative Taylor. Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to leave this packet of information with you. Your staff did likely call for it the other day, and I've just been too behind. You may find some of it of value, and if not, return it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Representative Martin. Appreciate your efforts at saving paper as well. We're now going to go to Nick Servinos, and after that, Barbara Collins in Anchorage.
Servinos from Plum Island area. I've been here for many years since the prior to statehood. I've watched this area grow. So approximately 300 people to what we have today, which is over 6,000 people in this area. It's been very hard for many of us in the early days. We had no electricity, and we had to struggle without it. But nevertheless, we are now in modern times. We have electricity, and the only way to attract more people, more industry, and to give a better image to the people of outside, and also to boost the lifestyle of our people here. I sincerely hope that you take into serious consideration House Bill 184 and 185, which will certainly be a great benefit to this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. You're testifying. Next, go to Barb Collins in Anchorage, and then the next person in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like you have at least 8 intertie bills to consider today. I urge you to support HB 228, the bill which makes the most sense in terms of a progressive and a comprehensive energy policy for this state. It takes a balanced approach to energy policy by including funding for energy generation and transmission, as well as energy efficiency measures. It has been almost 8 months since the Gulf crisis reawoke this country to the fact that we are dangerously oil dependent. President Bush and the Congress are expected to
to support House Bill 228 and move it forward rapidly. After all, isn't it logical that the state of Alaska should take a least cost approach to energy policy and funding, which HB 121 would very sensibly have our larger utilities do? I do want to mention that a representative from the State Home Builders Association was here to testify for 228, but had to leave, and it sounds like you will be scheduling another hearing. I want to thank you very much also for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Barbara, and appreciate your coming out. We'll now go to Fairbanks for the next person, and then to Dan Coffey in
Valdez.
Thank you, sir. My name is Gregory Spry, the Executive Director of the Alaska Natural Energy Institute, and I'd like to speak briefly on House Bills 121 and 228. On House Bill 228, I would like to recommend an amendment under grants to electric utilities for electrical energy use conservation programs in the amount of $20 million to include that grant to be expanded to nonprofit organizations such as the Alaska Natural Energy Institute, the Alaska Craftsman Home Program, and other nonprofits which are in the business of doing conservation programs. Golden Valley, at least in Fairbanks, has been historically resistant to conservation, and this would make possible for nonprofits such as ourselves to compete for those funds. On House Bill 121, I'd like to speak to the integrated resource planning. The least cost planning is definitely an idea of the 80s, and this is the 90s, nearly the 2000s. Hal Moser, the senior analyst for CH2M Hill, mentioned that the supply side option is not considered for the Healy Point project, where waste to energy, solar, and wind. And I'd like to speak to the danger of 121 and not including complete IRPs when an IRP is conducted. If an IRP is to be conducted, it should be looking to all supply side options indeed. So thank you very much for having this opportunity to testify, and please move HB 121 on.
Okay, thank you very much. Dan, are you there in Valdez?
Yes, sir, I am. I'd like to, I'm the facilities director for the Valdez City Schools, and I'd like to speak for, briefly in support for House Bill 184 and 185, the Canal and Delta Energy. As director of the facilities for the Valdez City Schools, we do have an ongoing energy conservation program. In fact, at this point, we've economized to a point that now we have to decide to break regulations on indoor air quality, you know, just to save some money on the electric bill. We currently pay over $250,000 a year for 865 students in this community. 5 cents per kW, we could save and put back into the community as well as the infrastructure, $120,000 a year. So once again, I'd like to just say help.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your coming out today. I'm going to have to apologize to everyone else on the teleconference. We've run out of teleconference time. As I mentioned earlier, we had an extra long session today because the operating budget was on the floor. My apologies. Anyone who wasn't able to testify, please leave your name to the teleconference operator. Have them send it to us. We will have you listed first at our next hearing. We'll devote April 11th as a hearing. We also try to schedule some sort of work session beforehand. Both of those will be officially noted. The April 11th would be 1 to 3. The work session would have to be in the evening if we could find an evening free. And again, I apologize. We're signing off on a teleconference. We are going to go back to testimony. Before we do that, we're going to take a brief recess in this particular bill to take up House Bill 46. We had this at a previous hearing. We held it over. We resolved whatever problems in the committee substitute before us. Is there a motion on the committee substitute? This is on the space board.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that it be sent out of committee with individual recommendations.
Representative Bruckman has moved with individual recommendations. Is there objection? Just for record, in attendance are Representative Wacky, Representative Bruckman, and Representative Lightman. Bill moved with individual recommendations. Back on the was the CS adopted the previous committee?
There was a CS in the ITT committee.
Yeah. I think the
Okay, the next we'll have Walt Johnson. Walt, if you could join us.
My name is Walt Johnson. I'm a member of the Fairbanks Nonstop Borough Assembly, and I'm here to speak for myself. In each of the 3 years that I've been on the Assembly, we've sent down resolutions to you in support of the intertie between Healy and Fairbanks. And I would like to personally speak in support of H Bill 76 and 77 today. The present line between Healy and Fairbanks is operating near full capacity, which means there's no room for growth. And of course, we do need additional capacity. If there is to be economic development, there must be a willingness of low-cost energy, which is not the case right now. With the present line, Fairbanks is not in a position to benefit from additional energy projects that may come online throughout the state, and that means two things. Number one, it means that additional energy is not available to Fairbanks. And it also means that they're really not available to energy providers as part of their customer base. Fairbanks is a second largest community in the state. If we are able to grow, it will enhance the growth of all of Alaska. And I would urge your support of House Bill 76 and 77.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your comments, short. Next, we've got N.L. Story.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you a moment today in favor of House Bill 76 and 77. Homer Electric serves a good share of the Kenai Peninsula. And the entire peninsula is connected by one single 115 kV transmission line that's over 30 years old. We've experienced in the last 2 years or so in excess of 20 outages on that transmission line. I think it's important to stress that not only is there a financial cost, a high financial cost to those outages for our residential consumers as well as the heavy industrial load that we carry on the peninsula, but that it is a two-way street. It is important for the bowl and the rest of the region that there be more security by a second transmission line. We're going to have Bradley coming online shortly. That's going to put additional stress on the system. We're not going to be able to move the power. We have to be able to move the power economically about the rail belt. And summing it up, I urge you to move 76 and 77 on. I appreciate your time. Allow me to speak to you today.
Thank you. Appreciate your coming out. Ken Ritchie?
My name is Ken Ritchie. I'm the general manager of Matanuska Electric. We serve the Matsu Borough. We also serve the Eagle River part of the municipality of Anchorage. I'm coming today in support of Bill 76 and 77. One question I want to ask, why would NEA support these projects? I mean, here we have a construction project, essentially, at least in some views, one in Fairbanks and one in Kenai Anchorage. One of the nice things about transmission lines, though, is that electrons know no geographical boundaries. We can, whatever the benefits are, can be shared by everybody in the railroad area. And I say everybody, not just certain select individuals. One thing, you know, that distinguishes, I think, Interties from some other projects is that virtually everybody in every geographical area can participate, which means everybody in our service area. And when you look at these projects, see if that's true or not. Secondly, Interties will provide long-term benefits, and I think all of us, no matter what it is we finance, would like to be able to look back and say we're left with a legacy of long-term benefits that outlive us. And I think the Interties clearly will do that for a long, long period of time. So again, looking at whatever project is, does it provide benefits that perhaps can disappear over a period of time, or do they provide benefits that perhaps the state will have to pick up part of the cost of? So we at MEA do support Bill 76 and 77 and ask you to move it out of committee. A strong and proper transmission infrastructure is very important to MEA. We've relied on that for years. We have virtually no generation within our service area, except for the small equipment projects. So we've relied on transmission for many years, and we know the importance of a proper and strong transmission system. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you interested in the way in a coal plant, Matthew?
What's that?
No, I'm joking. You want one? I'm trying to get the code of Representative Warrior here. So. Mr. Hires?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My compliments to you for doing what appears to me to be stuffing that 5-gallon pot with those 34 gallons of the testimony here. I'm General Manager of Chugach Electric Association. I don't want to go into a lot of detail because I know that all of you are filling up sheets and sheets of data, and I can see the interest in your eyes waning periodically. I will say this, though. Chugach Electric Association, as you're aware, is the largest utility in the state of Alaska. We have 62,000 retail customers, which encompasses the greater part of Anchorage. In addition to that, we sell power to most of the utilities, all of the utilities in the rail belt from Fairbanks to Homer. So when Chugach is speaking in support of House Bill 76 and 77, we're speaking also for our wholesale customers, Matanuska Electric Association, Homer Electric Association, because the benefits that come from two transmission lines are passed on to those customers in those areas by them being there. As you are aware from a lot of documentation that we've passed around, the National Association has said that the reliability in South Central Alaska is not what it should be, and what it needs is another transmission line in order to bring that up. The 1987 AEA study, which looked at upgrading the existing line, which House Bill 228 does, also rejected that as not being cost-effective, but indeed said that if it was going to be upgraded, it should be upgraded to 230 kV at a cost of $92 million, which is actually approximately the same or a little bit more than another transmission line, which offers substantially more benefit. While, like a lot of people, would like an opportunity to testify again and to watch your faces light up as you understand and agree with the things I'm saying there, I think it is more important, and I would urge you strongly to move House Bill 76 and 77 from this committee so that it can be dealt with further action moving forward. Thanks.
Okay. The next person we've got is David Van Denberg.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. I've got some sheets to submit to the record. I'll just have some hard copies here. I'll pass this around. My name is David Vandenberg, and I represent the Environmental Lobby. I volunteer for them now. And I'd just like to bring to you today the message that the Alaska Environmental Lobby strongly supports House Bill 121 because it makes a serious commitment to energy efficiency, energy diversity, and conservation. The 20-year integrated resource plans required by this legislation will consider demand-side conservation options on equal footing with the construction of new power generation facilities. H. Bill 121 considers all the options for generating power and all of the options for conservation on the user side. The most cost-effective and environmentally sound choices will be made on this basis. We favor this form of least cost planning because it's been proven successful in many states. 43 states have used it, providing a basis of comparison and models that the state of Alaska can benefit from. In California, where utilities have been used in this process since 1973, a combination of efficiency gains and additional renewables will meet all of the increased demand, which will amount to 10,000 megawatts, for the next decade. Also, least cost planning has worked in Iowa. In one municipality in Osage, Iowa, they saved enough money to reduce its rates by one-third, attracting two new factories to town and boosting local economy. And these are the same anticipated benefits that the Northeast Intertie might provide. Now, these are just two of the numerous success stories resulting from the implementation of integrated resource planning that is timely for the legislature to consider this for the state of Alaska. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your coming out today. Next, we'll have Alan Mitchell. I'm not sure if Alan, we're going to have much time, but any brief comments you want, there will be another hearing. So.
Actually, I have some handouts, and I thought I'd pass around here. I don't believe I am going to have any time to talk about it. I just thought I'd get them out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alan Mitchell. For the record, my firm is Analysis North. I currently have the state contract to represent consumers on utility issues. And just to briefly summarize the conclusions of my testimony, I do not support House Bill 76, 77, 184, 185, 117, 118, and I guess 114 is the other one. Those are the bills that fund the larger scale new interties in the Rail Belt region. And the reason I don't support those bills is I don't believe that there are sufficient reliability benefits and cost savings to justify the cost of those intertags. With regards to House Bill 121, the Integrated Resource Planning Bill, I've been on record on the Community and Regional Affairs hearing that was already held on that bill, but I do support that bill. With regards to HB 228, the Labor and Commerce Committee bill, my belief on that is if it is the will of the legislature to use the remaining Rail Belt Intertie Reserve account to reduce energy costs in the Rail Belt, I believe that House Bill 228 is a better way and a more certain way to reduce energy costs than the other bills, the other intertie bills. Actually, I'd like to just speak briefly about some of the components of House Bill 228. One of the things funded by House Bill 228 is a limited upgrade of the Anchorage to Fairbanks line. It's a component of the HB 7677 package. Basically, it involves installing three static VAR systems on the line, one in Wasilla, one in Healy, and one in Fairbanks. And this component of the full Healy-Fairbanks upgrade that the utilities advocate for has been shown by almost all the analysts to have substantial benefits for its cost. So that's one component of House Bill 228. Basically, that portion of the upgrade of the Anchorage to Fairbanks line substantially increases the power transfer capability of the Anchorage-Fairbanks link, and it's a very cost-effective addition to the power transfer capability of that line. That's one component of the package, $20 million. Another component that addresses electric supply is to fund the planned reconstruction of the existing southern intertie, the one that goes around Turnagain Arm currently. Chugach has a planned reconstruction program for that line that intends to mitigate some of the avalanche danger and also just replace the old line, basically. This, having the legislature fund that would reduce the cost to consumers of funding that reconstruction. That's a $30 million element of House Bill 228. The other supply-side element of 228 is $30 million to be distributed equally across rail belt utilities based on their number of customers to repay debt. Basically, a dollar's worth of debt repayment will reduce costs to consumers by a dollar. So basically, it's a reduction of electric rates sort of generically implemented for the rail belt utilities. But the final element of the House Bill 228 package is $48 million dedicated to energy conservation. A portion of that $48 million goes to fund some electric conservation programs in the rail belt that were extensively analyzed in the same study that the Energy Authority did, which addressed the intertie proposals. And that study found that those electric conservation programs have very good benefit-to-cost ratios, basically $1.30 worth of benefit for every dollar of cost on those programs. So those are the components of 228. Once again, if this money is to be used to reduce energy costs, I believe 228 is a better alternative than the other intertie bills. The rest of my testimony was to actually attempt to lay out some information specifically on House Bill 76 and 77, the new Southern Intertie, and the Healy to Fairbanks Intertie, the package addressed by the utilities, and I don't believe we have time to do that today. I have handed out a package of graphics with some bullet conclusions that apply to those graphics, and I hope the committee members have a chance to look at that package, and perhaps at the next hearing I could address those issues in a little more detail. Thank you for your time.
We won't have time for that, but I did want to ask you one quick question. Do you have a view on Representative Brown's bill as before today, the least cost energy plan?
Yeah, as I stated before, I went on
that litany of numbers there.
Right. Well, actually, I went on the record in the Community and Resources, Community and Regional Affairs hearing in support of House Bill 121, so I don't want to waste any more time discussing it.
Okay, and you ought to be commended for learning all those numbers, though.
No, actually, I read them right off the chart there.
So I cheated. Okay. Next, we've got Doug Griffin. How about Lynn Crystal? Anyone else here who hasn't testified, who's from out of town, who'd like to testify? Anyone who's from Juneau, who won't have a prejudice against Juneau, anyone from Juneau who wants to testify? Okay, well, I appreciate everyone coming today. The as I said, the next hearing will be on April 11th. Hopefully, it won't be a budget. We'll have two solid hours. If we get a chance for a work session before then, we'll do it. What we'll try to do then is discuss as much as we can on individual proposals, try to discuss some of the studies that have been done, and if Mr. Lesh is there, we'll have you probably first off. Thank you all for attending. Thank you.